Welcome to Covera's Weekly Digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance, and the markets. Hitting everything for a six. Is there a connection between Indian cricket and stocks? While most cricketers and even stock market experts would fume at such a seemingly preposterous suggestion, former India master blaster Virender Sehwag certainly believes there's a connection. In a post on X, formerly Twitter, the flamboyant batsman said that Team India, like stocks, has broken out of a consolidation range. The Indian cricket team, like stocks, he said, had been facing a resistance and had been unable to get past the finish line in International Cricket Council, ICC, trophies despite playing consistently for years. Like in stocks, there is a breakout after consolidation in a range, where after resistance for years there is a multi-year breakout and it reaches new highs. I have a feeling that this is a breakout win for us, Sehwag said in a post on X after India's World Cup T20 win over South Africa in Kensington Oval on June 29. I think we would be winning many ICC trophies consistently in the years to come, he said. Now, we are not qualified to comment on Mr. Sehwag's cricketing wisdom. After all, he had some of the classiest square cuts and slashes over point. But we cannot ignore what we were witness to this week. And no, we are not just talking about the locks of frenzied, jubilant fans who thronged Mumbai's iconic Marine Drive and Wankhede Stadium on Thursday to welcome Team India. We are also talking about ecstatic investors on Dalal Street, who saw the benchmark Sensex cross the 80,000 mark for the first time in its history. In the run-up to this peak, the Sensex recorded its fastest 10,000-point rally, wrapping it up in just 58 sessions. Meanwhile, the Nifty 50 is firmly above the 24,000 level now after hitting record highs more than two dozen times so far in 2024. Market experts now feel that the Sensex could hit the 100,000 mark by the end of December 2025 if it continues to hold this momentum. If that indeed does happen, the index will have delivered an annualized return of 15.9% over the last 45 years. Although the index was launched in 1986, it had a base value of 100 as of April 3, 1979. And this projection does not even account for the dividends declared by Sensex constituents which investors may choose to reinvest in the market. So, are such assumptions realistic or have some analysts been taken in by irrational exuberance? Again, we don't know, but what we can say is that in its path to the 100,000 mark, the Sensex will have to contend with several factors such as India's union budgets, the rate cut trajectory of the U.S. Federal Reserve as well as local politics, and the presidential elections in the biggest economy in the world later this year. But some well-meaning people are already sounding a note of caution. One of those voices is Dai Chandrachud, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Chandrachud said this week that the market surge makes the Capital Markets Regulator Securities and Exchange Board of India, SEBI, and its appellate body, the Securities Appellate Tribunal, SAT, more important than ever before. It gives you a sense of the market sentiment, he said, adding that it emphasizes the importance of regulatory authorities including SEBI and SAT, just tells that we are into wins, but it is equally important for others to hold their balance and nerves at such times. Chandrachud isn't the only one to raise this concern. In March, SEBI chief Madhavi Puri Book had also warned of froth in small and mid-cap stocks and of the risk of a bubble. As for us, we have always advised caution. It is best not to get carried away by the euphoria, and take measured and judicious calls. It is after all your hard-earned money that is on the line. Stop the fixes. In more stock market-related news, the NSE is set to apply a cap of 90% to all small and medium enterprises, SME, stocks that list on its platform in a bid to restrict runaway gains and bring more stability to the opening price discovery process for such stocks. To standardize the opening price discovery slash equilibrium price across exchanges during the special pre-open session for the initial public offer IPO for the SME platform, it has been decided to put an overall cap up to 90% over the issue price for SME IPOs, NSE said in a circular on Thursday. In plain speak, this means that gains for an SME stock with an issue price of 100 rupees will be limited to 90 rupees on debut. How will this move help? Analysts say the cap can potentially reduce volatility and speculation in the opening price of SME stocks. Previously, there was no cap, and some SME IPOs would see their opening price surge significantly above the issue price. This, they say, could be due to factors like hype or a short supply of shares. the cap can help moderate such price swings. The move will be a dampener for those who want to exit on day one after pocketing abnormal returns. It is not uncommon for SME stocks to see a jump of over 100% on listing day. A Hindu Business Line report noted that in this month alone, Deanston Tech, 152%, Divine Power Energy, 280%, and Chivalric Power Control, 226%, have seen a huge jump in prices on debut. SEBI is reportedly looking to tighten the norms for these listings following certain complaints of misuse. For instance, the minimum issue size could be increased to ensure that only serious companies have access to the capital markets. The companies are currently required to have a post-issue capital base of 25 crore. On a sticky wicket, the capital markets regulator SEBI made more news this week as it sought to reshape the brokerage industry and shook up the fee structure as part of its continuing efforts to control the surge in derivatives trading. In a circular on July 1, SEBI said that stock exchanges, depositories and clearing corporations must levy uniform charges on stock brokers instead of the existing discounted charges based on their trading volumes. Stock exchanges currently offer a discount to brokers to increase trading across segments including derivatives. This means the fees paid by brokers reduces as trading volumes increase. In turn, brokers charge investors through a similar volume-based structure. The difference between the fees levied on investors and what is paid to exchanges is their additional revenue stream. However, SEBI doesn't want brokers to make this extra money at the expense of investors, and so has proposed a uniform fee structure instead of slab-wise fees. The watchdog's move is not only aimed to enhance transparency of the cost structure but is also intended to control rush seen in futures and options trading over the past couple of years. How will the SEBI move impact traders and investors? The rebates earned by brokers form a major chunk of their derivative business revenue. Since this source of money is now being curbed, brokerages may increase fees across the board, both in the spot market as well as in the F&O segment. Hence, investors across market segments will now have to account for these increased costs when calculating their expected returns. The likely loss of revenue dragged down the shares of brokerage companies, especially those that rely heavily on F&O trading. New innings. SEBI made another significant move this week as it issued a consultation paper to introduce mutual fund light regulations. The discussion paper is part of its efforts to make it easier for new players to enter the mutual fund sector and launch passive funds that typically replicate an index such as the Sensex or the Nifty. Currently, passive funds can only mimic a debt or equity index. However, the consultation paper suggests the launch of hybrid passive funds. These funds will track a composite index comprising equity and debt securities, SEBI said. To start with, SEBI plans to permit three types of hybrid passive funds. These categories are debt-oriented passive funds, which would invest 25% money in equity and 75% in debt, balanced passive funds, which would invest in equity and debt equally, and equity-oriented passive funds, which would invest 75% in equity and the remaining in debt. While SEBI hasn't made a final call, it has sought public comments by July 22. The move is certainly in the right direction. It will give more low-cost options to investors and deepen the mutual fund industry. What do you think? Market wrap. Although the benchmark indices scaled new highs, profit-taking on Friday saw them come off their peaks. The Sensex ended the week just short of the 80,000 mark, but up 0.7% over the five-day period. The Nifty gained nearly 0.9%. Top Nifty gainers for the week included the likes of ONGC, Infosys, Coal India, Tata Consumer and Wipro. Top Nifty losers included IndusInd Bank, Titan, HDFC Bank, Bharti Airtel, Bajaj Finserv, and Adani Enterprises. That's all for this week. Until next week, happy investing.